Hi, I'm Charlie Perry.
And I'm Amy Wall.
And we're two best mates obsessed with skincare. But we aren't dermatologists. We're just frustrated at all of the conflicting advice on looking the glowiest we can. So we're going to speak to the experts and do the research so that we all know the truth about looking after our skin.
Hello.
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 Oh, not this again.
How are you?
I'm sick of musical Charlie.
Sorry, I'll not do it anymore.
That's
a lie.
I think
it brings joy to people. Yeah, that is a blatant lie, sorry. Bare-faced lie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I'm very excited for this week's podcasting world.
Me too. So, we have had quite a few messages over the past few weeks, haven't we? Basically saying like, oh, like, I wish you did more than one episode a week. And we were speaking to this super, super lovely gal who slid in our DMs. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm all caught up now. I don't really know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And oh, it was so nice.
So cute.
But yeah, so what we've decided to do is give you guys a number of episodes this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's best
not to
know
to
yeah, that you
them.
Don't have to listen to all of them. But if you wanted to, I mean, if you like our voices, you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we've kind of taken an angle on. I know we did our How to Find Out Your Skin Type set. That was one of the first ones that we did, wasn't it, Charles?
Yeah.
But
kind of off the back of that, yeah. People were still a bit like, okay, now I know my skin type.
Yeah, what
next?
Yeah.
So we kind of, as soon as we came across Lioni, which is the brand that we've kind of teamed up with for mm-hmm. this. Not brand, they're both, it's a lady called Megan and Senya, and they're two friends who started off with the same values as us in that it's very conflicting world when it comes to talking about skincare and beauty. So they kind of want to get to the bottom of it, but because they're both trained in skincare consultancy and that kind of thing, they decided to actually become skincare consultants,
yeah.
Whereas we speak to the consultants and do the research.
Yeah, they were super helpful and super sweet. And it honestly was.
Yeah.
Like, I know we weren't with them, it was over FaceTime, but it was honestly like looking
in
the
great.
Mirror.
Yeah.
Like, they honestly have such the same values as us, and it was really refreshing to see other people.
Yeah.
Because they're completely unbiased as well.
Yeah.
They don't get paid for any product recommendations. They don't push anything because they're going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
It's all their own recommendations.
Exactly. Just like us. We don't get paid for this.
No, we don't.
But yeah, so basically off the back of the skin type thing, I was like, you know what? We should do a more in-depth episode per skin type
mm-hmm.
where we can get really kind of niche specific advice on dry skin, oily skin, sensitive and combination skin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what we've done this week. We sat down and did the four interviews with them, didn't we? And got all of the information as to the definite do's and don'ts for your skin type, what to avoid, what to look for, how to tell without having to go and get your skin tested what your skin type is. I think mm-hmm. that's really important.
Yeah.
And really like how to properly care for your skin type, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much it. Nailed
mm-hmm.
it.
So, Ames, it's time to talk about sensitive skin.
Oh.
I mean, we both suffer with sensitive skin, right?
Yes.
And in quite different ways. And I think you, in terms of sensitive skin, it's not like you can just be sensitive. Like, usually it's sensitive with a combination of something else. So, we would recommend listening to the combination episode as well as this one.
Yeah.
Because the chances are you are sensitive with oily or dry or whatever.
Yeah, the guys did give us some really, really good info. I'm excited to listen back to
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah, so let's see what the Lioni girls have to say about mm-hmm. sensitive skin.
Let's get on with it.
In this episode, Ames, mm-hmm. we are going to speak to Megan and Senya of Lioni about sensitive skin.
Yes.
This is a big job.
It is.
Because
it's such a hard thing to tackle.
Yeah, so many types of sensitivity. But ladies, please help us.
We're here to try to help.
How are you both? Are you both okay?
Yeah, yes, really good.
Amazing.
Yeah, really good.
So, Megan, you are probably going to take the reins of this, right? Because you suffer with sensitive skin.
Yes, I've suffered from very sensitive skin. I have. So my kind of like skin journey, I do have very light skin. And so like with lighter, they call it like the Fitzpatrick scale. So with lighter skin tones on that scale, we are just by nature more likely to be super sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always had kind of like pinky undertones in my skin. I suffered from like pebble acne when I was young, like going through puberty, but then my skin was pretty normal. And then all of a sudden when I turned like 21, I woke up one day and I had the most sensitive skin, rosacea, on my right cheek and on my chin only. But then that would, I would get like this rash sometimes. And so, yeah, it's been kind of like a battle for the past few years. I had it under control and then I moved to London, and like with the water and stress and everything, it just got so much worse.
And the pollution.
And the pollution and just every, I mean, city living. Because I'm from Texas originally, so I just totally shocked my system.
It's really not easy. Living in these big cities. No. It's not an easy job.
So, I've
had sensitive skin for a while.
Yeah. So what would you say for people kind of listening, thinking, is my skin definitely sensitive? Because they might have combination skin or whatever. But in terms of sensitive skin, what are like the key signposts for somebody who's got sensitive skin?
So I think we all need to treat our skin as if we have sensitive skin in a way. You don't ever want to like overstrip your skin and cause sensitivity, because I think a lot of people, especially with the products that are out there now, there are a lot of, you know, peels and all these things that you really can damage your skin and cause sensitivity. Whereas for me, like I had a skincare condition, so I had rosacea, and so that causes my skin to be more sensitive to products. But I think with sensitive skin, if you're having any kind of itchiness, inflammation, redness in your skin, that's, I mean, those are the kind of the first signs of sensitivity.
Or if you also react to a certain product, or if you have, for example, eczema or dermatitis, it's also a sign that your skin is more sensitive than others.
Yeah. And so basically when your skin's sensitive, that's an indication that the barrier function of your skin is not working to its fullest potential. And so the barrier function of your skin, it's basically like the shield that protects you from all the irritants and pollution and UV rays and everything, basically everything from the outside world. So it protects you against those things. And if it's compromised, then those things can get into your skin and cause irritation. And that's where you get the sensitivity. And so today, like, especially in the city, most of us have more sensitive skin just because of, you know, how we live. And then even in the countryside, if you're not being exposed to pollution and stress and lack of sleep or whatever, you still are getting harsh weather conditions. And so that can cause sensitivity as well. So we all have a little bit of sensitivity, I think, in our skin. Yeah. But super sensitive skin, you know, because you have the irritation, the redness, and can't use every single product that you want to use, basically. Yeah.
So I recently, this kind of question is off the back of a problem that I had not too long ago. In terms of when you have sensitive skin and you have a rash, or you have kind of something happens to your skin, you're like, whoa, what the hell just happened here? What's the best course of action to find out what it is and to tackle it? Because, so for instance, I had like a little tiny little bumpy rash. It was colorless. It just felt like, it felt like a rash, but you couldn't even see it. And then like 2 weeks later, it was like full on cystic acne. And then a few days later, there were white heads on it. It was super painful to touch. And I kind of went to the doctor and was like, look, this is what's happened. I've never had anything like it. It's sore. What do we do? And like three different doctors all said three different things. So it's so confusing. And I was trying everything. I was like, literally all the research I'd done for birthday skin, I was like, just use it, Charlie. Come on, you can do this. And then I ended up having to go and take antibiotics. And I still don't really know what it was. So if something happens to your skin that's really out of the ordinary, what is the best way to get it sorted out? Is it to go to the doctor? Is it to just kind of stop using products? I don't know. What would you advise?
I think the first thing would be to really strip your skincare regime back to the absolute most basic things that you can. Because even if you're having a reaction, you still do need to wash your face, and you still do need to probably moisturize your face as well. No, not probably, definitely. You need to moisturize your face as well. But all of the other things that you were doing, so like exfoliation, serums, and this and that, like, I would just stay away. Like, I think that you don't want to be putting, you know, all of these kind of calming ingredients and this and that. If you're having a reaction to something, you need to strip it down to a product that has absolutely no fragrance, absolutely no detergent, does not foam, does the very bare minimum, and maybe even just rinse your face with lukewarm water and, like, you know, a little kind of wash rag or something.
And also you need to find what the real problem is, because people who have a rash or a breakout on their skin, often they think it's only related to skin, but actually we have to remember that our skin is the reflection of our health. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to also ask your question, what did I eat before? Is it a reaction? Is it something else? So
okay. Yeah, it could be really like your good hormones. If exactly. you've changed birth controls, like hormones really affect your skin. And so
mm-hmm. it's really important to try to find out and then to go to the appropriate doctor and do different tests and different things just to make sure that you went deep in the, like, to the mm-hmm. solution, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Just covering everything.
Perfect. And in terms of using acids on your skin, I think a lot of people that have sensitive skin are really reluctant to try anything that even signals that it's got acid in it, because we know that obviously some acids can be like a natural acid, so come from natural sources, but it can be very much a turn off for somebody to think, oh my god, my skin's just going to break out. So what acids would you say kind of go for, avoid, slash any other information on using acids with sensitive skin?
So I think with sensitive skin, if your skin is sensitive and inflamed or has a rash, then no, you need to really not be using any acids, and you need to be aware of hidden acids as well, because there are like, and not even just acids, but like things like vitamin A that can cause, you know, irritation or something like that. You need to be aware of that in your cleansers and your moisturizers, etc. You really need to look at the ingredients that are in your products. But once your skin is no longer inflamed or and the rash has gone down and you're just trying to repair the barrier of your skin, you can start to introduce acids again. So for me, the first acids that I started to use were polyhydroxy acids, because it's a larger molecule and so it doesn't penetrate the skin as deeply as mm-hmm. something like a BHA, and then even an AHA. So BHA goes deeper into the pore, and then AHA kind of does the top layer, etc., depending on how long you leave it on your skin. But with a PHA, it's just much more gentle because the molecule is larger.
Okay.
So that's where I started. And I just started by using it, and my face wash had a tiny bit of it in it. And then now that I've repaired the barrier of my skin, I'm using an alpha beta peel almost every other day. And so I've really built my skin's barrier back up. My skin's much more healthy. And even though I do know by nature it's sensitive, I'm not having the kind of inflammation that I was having before, and my rosacea has gone down tremendously. So I think it's just with acids, you need to introduce it very slowly, make sure that you patch test it for sure, and don't go to the strong stuff first. Like if you are wanting to use an AHA or BHA, start with a very small percentage and then you can try to work your way up eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you talk about your barrier and like rebuilding it back up, how did you go about doing this?
So first I stripped down my skincare regime to the most basic things ever, because I was having my rosacea turned into like a full-blown rash, bumps, and like these white kind of heads. Do you remember when that was?
Yeah, it was really bad, very inflamed.
Yeah, it was very inflamed and mm-hmm. painful. And so I just started by stripping it back. So I was using a cleanser. I was using these little kind of antioxidant pads, which I probably shouldn't have even been using in the beginning. So I probably just should have been using a cleanser and a moisturizer. Mm-hmm. And then once the redness started to go down, I then was able to incorporate like treatment products. So then I was using an anti-redness product. And so I just really like, it's almost like interval training or something for your skin. It's like a workout. You just have to build up your tolerance to things. Mm-hmm. And so now because I was using the PHAs and stuff, my skin finally got used to that pattern. Then I could introduce stronger things. And now I'm able to go in and like test new products again. Like when this was all happening, because we test products so much for our work, I couldn't test any new products. I was like on a very strict skincare regime with myself. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to quickly ask about PHAs and AHAs, BHAs. In terms of looking for them in a product, I know a lot of exfoliators will say like, oh, blah, 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 10% or 5% this kind of acid, in brackets BHA or whatever. In terms of, you were saying, oh, you used a product that had a tiny little bit in. Did you know that that was in there because you'd read the ingredients on the back or because it was advertised on the front?
It was because I had read the ingredients.
Okay.
On the back, and I knew the brand as well. and I knew that the brand that was like their kind of selling point was the PHAs and their products. And so, yeah, I had I had like done my research. I actually went to a place called Mortar and Milk, and it's Pamela Marshall. She's like honestly a skin wizard, and like I had taken all these courses in skin. Like I know about skin health, and like we've taken skin health and lifestyle assessment, all of these different things, but I could not get down to the bottom of it. And so she, I was like, you've got to help me. And so she introduced me to this brand, and we kind of talked about it, and yeah, it just really, the PHAs are what I think saved my skin, to be honest.
Okay. So what kind, what are the ingredients that are PHAs that people would need to be looking out for?
So it actually says polyhydroxy acid.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
Yeah. So just like it would say on the bottle, this product has like AHAs and BHAs, even though like BHAs we know have or salicylic acid, and we know that like AHAs, there are loads of different AHAs.
Yeah.
PHAs are basically the second generation of AHAs.
Okay.
So they're just like a gentler cousin of the the AHAs.
That's such a nice way to describe them.
Yeah. now a lot of brands are kind of, I guess, capitalizing on the PHA trend, and I think we'll start to see a lot more of them because they are kind of suitable for all skin types.
Amazing.
Nice. My best.
I think that's all my questions for sensitive skin.
Well, I was just going to cover off the back of the whole barrier thing. You know, you said that you kind of worked your tolerance back up. Is this enough to give somebody with sensitive skin hope that they can make their skin less sensitive? Like, can they rebuild their tolerance to things if they just completely strip back their routine and then start again?
Start fresh, yes. Yeah. It 100%. And I think really give your skin time. I mean, like, even so, just after the inflammation goes down, don't then say, okay, now I can use that clay mask again or whatever. I would say definitely, for I think probably 6 weeks, I was really being extremely gentle with my skin. So I was using, for the first, you know, kind of 2 weeks, I was just using the cleanser and moisturizer. Then I did start using this anti-redness treatment to help with my rosacea. Mm. And then I was using that kind of antioxidant pad in the morning. But always also wear SPF with sensitive skin, because that's really going to help your skin become less sensitive. Mm-hmm. It really like helps protect the barrier of your skin.
And perfect. The way your barrier function will be rebuilt, it also depends where your sensitive come from. So like Megan said at the beginning, if by nature your skin is very sensitive, then it's something that you will do ongoing. So you will still use all those products to calm the redness and inflammation. But if it's something that came because you had a poor skincare regime or you were really stressed, because it can happen also, your skin will get more sensitive, then you'll do like a treatment and then maybe go back to your skincare regime. But it really depends skin to skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nice that there is a little light of hope for sensitive.
Yeah, there definitely is, especially even for like rosacea sufferers. You can reduce the redness and like just make sure also with, you know, rosacea in particular, like your diet really does affect it as far as like spicy foods, red wine, dark chocolate for me, rosemary. Like I know the triggers for my sensitivities. And so if it's something like redness that you're seeing in your skin, even like keep like a food diary. And when you go in the bathroom after lunch and you've gotten really red, write down what you ate that may have irritated it. So you have to be really disciplined about it.
Wow. Amazing. I ate so much beetroot last night. God, I'm worried now.
You big ass beetroot.
I don't like beetroot, so I don't know if that's one of my triggers or not.
I'm not really a fan, to be honest. My grandma put it in my tea and I just ate it, to be polite.
Oh my God, cheese and beetroot sandwiches are my favourite. You always used to have them as a kid.
That's really weird.
Delicious.
I love beetroot, but I love it tastes like dirt to me.
So many people say that.
Very critical.
Ames is sat here like a real life beetroot.
Am I?
No, you're not. I was just saying after you eat it.
I know, I'm going to go to the toilet after and check.
Amazing. So, ladies, I think it's worth that we explain to the listeners of Birthday Skin exactly what you guys do, because I think you obviously have a lot of knowledge to impart and it's your business. So do you want to take it away and like fully explain how people can get involved with you guys, where they can follow you and what you do?
Yes, of course. So Megan and I, we founded Leon, and Leon is a skincare consultancy company. So what do? We create a bespoke regime for both men and women. And every product that we recommend are very transparent. So we don't work with any brands, retailers, or products. And we have different types of consultations.
Yeah, so we have a 20-minute consultation, which is kind of like a little taster of what we do. So you come in, it's a one-to-one skin health and lifestyle assessment, and then we do an analysis with our Observe machine. So it takes away kind of all of the confusion that I think a lot of people are having about what skin type do I have, products do I use, because we can see in the Observe machine through these different lights what skin type you actually have, and then we're able to kind of off the back of that recommend appropriate products for you. But with the 20-minute consultation, the Elessence, we just give you on-the-spot feedback. So we might say, you know, take away that foaming cleanser, or, you know, add in a gentle cleanser, something like that. But then we also have a 45-minute consultation. And so that's a much more in-depth skin health and lifestyle assessment. We still do the Observe machine analysis. And then off the back of that, we give you a full morning regime and evening regime, as well as your like in-depth skin analysis. And again, we aren't, you know, tied to any brands or retailers, so it makes it a great super kind of unbiased person.
Exactly. And we started to do only like monthly pop-ups, but now we have an ongoing day every week on Thursday in Notting Hill, and we do both consultations. So the L'Essence one is for £35 and it's 20 minutes, and the second one, La Crème, is 45 minutes and it's £90.
Amazing.
So you can come.
Yeah, you can come. We're trying to branch out of London as well, so
yes,
watch,
please
follow us on Instagram.
Yes,
to see where we'll be.
Well,
how amazing are they both?
Just so insightful, and they were so lovely as well.
Yeah, so helpful. And like they've said, they are skincare consultants, so as I've just mentioned, the prices and what they provide has already been spoken about. But if you want to follow them, it's lionee.ldn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
L-I-O-N-N-E. And yeah, they're just great girls. So hopefully they're going to come up north, Ames. I'm going to do something fun with them.
Oh, I was just thinking about that. Like, I really hope they come our way. Like,
yeah,
I would love to meet them.
Oh my God. Dying.
Might knock my self-esteem a bit, because obviously they sound really exotic and we're just like, Northern, Manchester.
They'd be like, okay. Yeah, they're not like that here from where I'm from.
But no, super, super nice girls.
Yeah.
And
massive thanks to them.
Yeah, like,
massive
huge
thanks.
Thank you. Like, they spent so much time.
That's like 2 hours worth of their time.
Yeah, and not to mention the technical difficulty we had. Mm-hmm. Our stuff. Our program crashed on us, so we had to re-record like half of that. So they were super patient, and we just want to give them a great big thanks, because we learned so much off the back of all those episodes. And we hope that you guys did too. We hope that you enjoyed them. And if you did, leave us a little
review
and slide in
slide us
in our DMs. Mm-hmm. If you've got any other
questions,
tell
your friends, tell your family,
tell your mom, tell your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amazing.
Yeah. Cool.
Perfect. Thanks, Ames.
Thanks, Charles.
See
and thanks
you later.
To the girls.
Of course. Thank you to Senya and Megan of Lionee.
Bye.
Bye.